You are listening to Shining a Light on Memory Loss. 30 powerful minutes aimed at helping you and your family better understand a topic that touches everyone in our community in some way. Shining a Light on Memory Loss is sponsored by the Benson Area Memory Loss Network.
Hi and welcome. This is Laura Thomas. I'm a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and your host for the show. In our last episode, we heard from certified nurse practitioner Sue Zack about the role that family and caregivers play in the memory loss journey and the options for care as the disease progresses. Today, we will continue our conversation on memory loss with two experts from Big Stone Therapies, speech therapist Angie Thorfinson and occupational therapist Courtney Rittenauer.
I'm Angie Thorfinson, and I'm a speech therapist for Big Stone Therapies at the Swift County Benson Hospital. I've been a speech therapist for about almost 4 years, been with Big Stone that whole time. I work in kind of a lot of areas, including memory, but some other areas that speech therapy works with is swallowing, language, communication, speech, intelligibility, AAC, different modes of communication for people that have difficulty expressing themselves, and some other areas as well. But cognition is one that I really enjoy, and we do a lot of it here in Benson too. And so I'm excited to be here today to talk about what we can offer for some of our people dealing with memory loss for different reasons. So thank you for having us.
Great. Thanks, Angie. Courtney?
Hi, I'm Courtney Rittenauer. I'm the occupational therapist at Big Stone Therapies at Swift County Benson Health Services. I've been with Big Stone for 7.5 years, I think, by now, and the whole time it's been with them. In OT, we see people of all ages, really, from birth to geriatrics. And with memory care specifically, we do a lot of cognitive testing. I really enjoy this area. It helps me help the person stay aging in place in their house, so or home, wherever it's safest for them. So it's kind of a nice topic for me to talk about here.
Great. So, Angie, you did mention a variety of people and populations that you work with. Could you tell us some more specifics about what you do to help people that are experiencing memory loss?
Yes. In speech therapy, there's kind of a number of things we do, and it'll depend on the individual. And it also kind of depends on what is causing the memory loss. In therapy, we might work with people that are experiencing memory loss after a traumatic brain injury or after a stroke. Sometimes it's with dementia. Sometimes it can even just be a short-term thing like nutritional changes or, you know, something medically is going on that's they're just not at their normal baseline level. And that can be causing memory changes. So it will really depend on what the cause of the memory issue is, as well as the person's individual goals. A lot of times I'm focusing on using external memory aids with people, such as using calendars, schedules, timers, alarms, things that can help them be successful in doing their daily tasks to help them be more independent in that way. In the case of something like after an accident, we'll actually be working on cognitive exercises and improving their memory through different kinds of puzzles. But usually I'm ultimately trying to make it as functional for the person as possible. So, you know, whether it's sorting medications or, yeah, using those memory strategies to attend your appointments, short-term memory things for remembering a phone number until you can get to a notepad to jot it down, just ways that it can be functional for the patient so that they can be more independent or safer in their everyday lives. That's kind of, you know, in a nutshell what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's real interesting because when I think of speech therapy, I think of, well, speaking. But you described so much more than that. Mm-hmm. Communication, memory, tricks and things. That's real interesting.
Yeah. And I think that that's kind of one area that speech and OT, you know, sometimes we overlap a little bit, but with speech, a huge part is that we are focusing on the communication aspect. How are, you know, what can we change for our caregivers in order to communicate more successfully for someone that has a memory problem so that they're more successful?
Mm-hmm. And Courtney, what about the occupational therapy side?
Sure. So like Angie mentioned, we based all of our treatment based on an individual, whatever the individual needs. So for OT, in memory care, a lot of times we're looking at the safety as of what the person can do as far as their activities of daily living or ADLs. So we might have caregivers present to say, hey, maybe looking at cooking, they can do some things, but they need to have somebody watching them just to make sure that they don't forget to leave the stove on or they don't cut their finger or hand or something when they're chopping something. So for OT, we do a lot of safety stuff in the ADL realm with getting dressed to making sure that they're sequencing correctly, appropriately, so that they are putting on their clothes the correct order.
Hmm. So maybe you could walk us through what a typical session with you would look like for the patient and their caregivers.
Sure. So the first thing that I do in OT, I have them come into the clinic with an order, and then we do a cognitive screen is what I do. So I usually use, it's called the SLUMS. It's the St. Louis University Mental Status Exam. It's just a screen to, it looks at different areas as far as your mental functioning. Hmm. And it gives me just a baseline of, they might be having some memory problems. It's nothing too in-depth. So that's what I start with, just to see if, are they kind of having these problems or is it something different? Mm-hmm. If they are kind of scoring a little bit low on that test, then I do something a little bit more comprehensive. I do the cognitive performance test or the CPT. And that, I usually do 4 or 5 different subtests that are functional. So it has a section where they have to set up a medication regimen for a week. They have to do a shopping task where they pretend to buy something from me. They do a cooking task with making toast. They do a washing task. And then I usually pick between a travel task or like using the phone, depending on what the person needs. And so that's typically in the first 1 to 2 sessions, I can get that stuff done. And based on the scores of those tests, then I can figure out what recommendations I can give them as far as they might need help in this area versus this area. These are some recommendations as far as what the caregiver can do to help this person and things like that. So from there on, I work on treatment methods based on what the person and their caregiver wants to be working on.
Hmm. And Angie, is that similar to what a speech therapy visit would look like?
Yeah, and for sure, in regards to the assessment, I usually do, kind of like Courtney said, a screener tool called the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. Hmm. Same thing, it kind of says, is there a problem or not? It does give some ranges of, you know, mild, moderate to severe. But usually as far as writing goals and providing education to the patient or caregiver, I do one of my more in-depth assessments. I have a couple different ones, and I usually determine which one kind of based on, you know, how high level or maybe they need something a little bit more simple. And also depends on if the memory loss is related to dementia or if it's related to, you know, a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, or something like that. Just because certain assessments are or have been normed for dementia and certain ones have not. So usually, you know, I kind of figure that information out in the case history. I'm working with, you know, in my interview with the caregiver or the patient, I determine some of that information and then select which assessment I do. And typically the assessments have a language or a communication piece tied into it. And I'm really looking for not only where they're at as far as their cognitive level or their memory level, but also what are they able to do as far as communication? Do they have difficulty with reading? If they have difficulty with reading or vision, then a visual support isn't probably going to be successful for them. If they can't see it very well, maybe we need to look at more of an auditory type system for them. And then also looking at how well they're comprehending what's told to them, as well as their ability to express themselves. And that also kind of helps us figure out, is this, you know, truly memory? Is it more of a language-related piece? So yeah, that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out during my assessment, is what strategies and what tools are we needing for this patient? And then figuring out, once we've established what tasks or goals they have, we kind of just make a game plan as far as how, you know, okay, let's practice it. You know, let's practice sequencing the steps for getting from their room down to the dining area. Mm. Or, you know, Courtney kind of talked about sequencing the steps for getting dressed. Let's sequence the steps for brushing their teeth. Let's get them using their calendar so that they know when to go down for lunch or when to go down for activities. Let's set up a system so that they remember to check their activity calendar so they know what activities are coming up and if they want to attend those. Things like that. But then a lot of times I also like to work on those individuals that have memory loss from an accident on actually exercising the brain, doing some different cognitive tasks that challenge their brain a little bit to strengthen some of those systems and things like that.
Memory loss affects everyone in our community in one way or another. Let's hear a little bit more about what's available in our community.
Cares Health Rice Hospice understands how important it is for a hospice patient to live with comfort and dignity. Through skilled nursing care, counseling, support, and education, we help patients and families live each day with meaning and purpose. Programs like We Honor Veterans, Sentimental Journey, Pet Therapy, Massage Therapy, and Music Services can help add life to days. Cares Health Rice Hospice serves a 15-county area and has a satellite office in Benson. Visit careshealth.com/hospice.
Prairie 5 Community Action Council provides aging services to Swift County. We have Alzheimer's Association and AARP community educators for memory loss presentations and written resources. We offer caregiver consultations, Medicare counseling, a tablet lending library, and user services. If you have questions or concerns on aging, don't hesitate to call me, Laura Thomas, at 320-226-8861. Service is funded in part by a grant from the Southwest Initiative Foundation.
My name is Shelley Versable with Lutheran Social Service. Caregivers who are caring for someone 60 years of age or older, certified caregiver coaches provide personal caregiver coaching and counseling, help with referrals, education, trainings, emergency care planning, caregiver support groups, grief and loss discussion groups, and regular phone call check-ins. Please consider teaming up with LSS to become a community volunteer today. Your local coordinator phone number is 507-829-3298 and visit our website at lssmn.org.
If you're considering home health care services to assist with personal care, household cleaning, or home nursing, or want to transition into assisted living and don't know where to begin, contact Swift County Human Services to set up a MnChoices assessment. The MnChoices assessment can help determine the services you may be eligible for, assist with access to those services, and identify public programs that might cover those costs. It can also identify other options if you don't qualify for poor publicly funded programs. To see if you're eligible, call Swift County Human Services at 843-3160.
Scandi Haven Village, located in Benson, provides a safe and comfortable living environment for anyone needing specialized memory care services. Our memory care unit offers safe and secure apartments, along with the central dining, living room common areas, and daily activities. Scandi Haven Village has a caring, supportive, and well-trained staff to provide your loved ones with the care they need. For more information or to have a tour, please call Jane Tilkey at 320-843-4728. Scandi Haven Village. Caring for those who cared for us.
We now return for more of Laura's interview with Angela Thorfinson and Courtney Rittenour on Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
So, Courtney, you mentioned kind of getting a baseline measurement, and that made me wonder, is there information that would be helpful for you to receive from the family or the caregivers before the appointment?
Yes. It's good for the patient and their caregiver to come in kind of knowing what they're wanting to work on or what parts of memory are maybe not working as well as they were a couple years ago. So as we know, dementia is a progressive disease, and so it doesn't necessarily improve with time, at this time anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to see where they're at or where they maybe had been about a year ago or so, and then any changes that the family or even the person has noticed. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times people come in and they just say that our memory isn't very good. Well, what piece of your memory isn't very good? Are you having trouble remembering names, birthdays? Are you having trouble forgetting that you put something in the oven? Do you forget to go to appointments? Are you forgetting to take your medications? So that kind of stuff is really helpful for us as clinicians to know ahead of time kind of areas that you want to work on, because our treatment really is patient-based, and you guys decide what you want us to help you with. And if we don't know that ahead or at the eval, really, then it's hard for us to come up with goals. And our goals should be client-centered. Whatever you guys want to work on, that's what we're here to help with.
Mm-hmm. So. Can you maybe offer suggestions if a person comes and says, well, I feel like I'm not remembering things. I mean, are there ways that you can help them identify if they're not sure, or the more prepared they are with what they'd like to work on, the better?
Yep. You can come in and just kind of give that general, I don't really know what's going on. And then, because we've been in this for a few years now, each of us, we have some cues that we can give to ask questions on, like, well, how about, have you ever forgotten to take your medication during the day? And they can respond how that is. Mm-hmm. Or, like, have you forgotten to pick up your medication because it's been sitting at the pharmacy for however long because you just auto-filled it and forgot about it? Mm-hmm. Have you ever forgotten that your stove was on when you were, you know, waiting for the food to cook? Things like that. So we have different ways that we can cue people to try to come up with some little memory history, I guess, on what they're maybe not having as good of time remembering.
Yeah, and I think that's where the interview piece is huge. I know I feel like I try to, you know, sneak in some questions that, you know, the things that Courtney and I have talked about as far as medications, remembering appointments, you know, you can kind of get a feel for what they're having a hard time with. And maybe they didn't think about that ahead of time, but once you bring it up, a lot of times they say, oh, yeah, you know what? Sometimes that does happen. Or, you know, a family member that's present might chime in and say, yeah, that's happened a few times. And, you know, that helps us, you know, direct our treatment. If I'm not sure what the person is wanting to work on right away, a lot of times I'll just start digging into, what do they need to be able to do? What's going to impact their safety? What's going to impact their ability to do their daily tasks, like just get ready in the morning or, you know, go to their appointments? Yeah, I'm just big on having everything be functional. So as much as I can try and figure out how can I make this person safe and independent, I guess that's what I'm going to go for first, unless they tell me differently. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, I also do like to try and figure out what people like to do for leisure and for pleasure too, because that's another area that memory can impact is, and really affects someone's quality of life. I can't keep up with the card games, you know, when I'm out, you know, playing cards with my group of people. You know, what can I do? Is there an exercise I can do? Something that helps my speed of processing, you know, so leisure and just those pleasurable activities is another huge piece that is also functional for a person that a lot of times I like to address in therapy that I forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah, well, also important to a high quality of life.
Right, yeah. And a lot of times those do end up being some of the most important goals to a lot of the patients is, oh, I can go play bridge. Oh, and that's really special to them. So
we'll be right back after we hear from some of the members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and what they offer to our community.
I'm Michelle Sonnabend, a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network, and I'm the discharge planner at Benson Hospital. Discharge planning is a service to help you arrange supplies, equipment, and services before you leave the hospital. If you or someone you care about are having problems with memory loss, we encourage you to see your provider at Swift County Benson Health Services. If you are looking for resources in our community on how to care for someone with memory loss, contact Michelle Sonnabend at the Swift County Benson Hospital, 843-1377.
Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm an RN for Divine Home Care. As a whole, home care workers provide a vital role in helping people with memory loss to remain as independent as possible, enabling them to stay in their familiar surroundings with their family and caregivers. Regardless of why your loved one is experiencing memory loss, we're here to help. We offer a variety of services to provide support to caregivers, families, and those experiencing memory loss. For more information, please contact Divine Home Care at 843-9178 or online at divinehomecare.com.
This is Betty Christensen from the Minnesota River Area Agency on Aging. We are happy to be members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network. Our office assists communities to develop services to help older adults remain in their own home as long as possible. More information can be found by calling our office at 507-387-1256 or on our website at mnraaa.org.
Hi, this is Maggie from Countryside Public Health, where our mission is to facilitate a safe and healthy future for the residents of the counties we serve. I'm glad you're taking this opportunity to learn about dementia as we strive together to improve our understanding of each other and make our community stronger and more supportive of people struggling with memory loss, as well as their caregivers, friends, and families.
We return now for the conclusion of Laura's interview with Angela Thorfinson and Courtney Rittenauer on Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
So for our caregivers that are listening in today, can you share with us some of the practical suggestions that you have for them, suggestions for people with memory loss when it comes to speech and communication?
Yeah, with speech and communication, you know, we do some, you know, at Big Stone Therapies, we do annual dementia training that kind of just refreshes a lot of strategies that for all of our therapists at Big Stone to help with working with individuals with dementia or with memory loss. As far as communication, a lot of times, you know, using a visual schedule so that they can anticipate what's coming up later in the day. You know, they might start doing a load of laundry 10 minutes before they have an appointment, and then all of a sudden their alarm goes off. And it can be hard to switch from, oh, I was just folding the laundry, to now I got to go get to my appointment. And that can cause problems. It can sometimes cause behaviors in our patients that have dementia. And so, you know, sometimes a visual schedule for that person will let them anticipate and know what's coming up in the day so that they're not caught off guard so much and will maybe have an easier time transitioning. You know, and then caregivers also giving plenty of heads up in advance, too, of, hey, we're going to go do this in 1 hour. Like, let's watch the clock. But other communication things, I guess, would be, you know, a lot of times we talk about giving a visual, whether it's a picture or a written something that they can read rather than just listen. Sometimes that visual cue sticks in the memory longer than just hearing it. Demonstrating what you want them to do. If you're trying to get them to do a task, a lot of times, like, acting or demonstrating what you want them to do. Communicating and using shorter sentences or phrases, and don't give four-step directions all at one time. Maybe break it down into one step at a time. So they're not having to retain all of that for the whole time that it takes to complete that task or what you're telling them to do. And also probably will just make things more efficient in having them complete that task, not needing as many repetitions. But on top of that, if the person is requesting repetitions, you know, being very gracious in responding and saying, oh, yep, I'll repeat that for you. You know, maybe asking them, did that all make sense? Do you want me to repeat any of that? Do you want me to write it down for you? To kind of help with just having the communication exchange be more successful and ultimately less frustrating for the person that has the memory loss.
Well, so Courtney, you mentioned that memory loss is progressive. Right. So we know that the brain changes over time, and that can lead to different behaviors or maybe people not being interested in things that they were interested in before. Maybe bathing becomes a challenge or other challenges like that. What kind of tips do you have when it comes to addressing some of those changes?
Yeah, so like Angie had mentioned, we do annual training in dementia care specifically. And one of our trainers, so to say, is Tipa Snow, and she's pretty big in the dementia world. She has developed the positive approach to care. And there's a few different techniques that we have learned. And there's some even in our company that have done additional training in her positive approach to care. But the biggest thing is making sure that this person has a routine. So trying to keep things similar so that they know what comes next. And like Angie mentioned, too, the visual schedule can help with that. As far as the caregiver helping them, give them options. Maybe not a bunch of options, but two different things. So say for showering or bathing, say we can bathe before breakfast or we can bathe after breakfast. And then have them choose because they're an individual who should still have choices. So doing it that way. To give them that. One thing that Tipa talks about too is called the hand under hand approach. So it's not necessarily doing the task for the person, but it's you're assisting them. So you're putting your hand under their hand and kind of showing them what you want them to do. So it works pretty well for eating and brushing your teeth because you can hold on to their hand while they're holding on to like a spoon. And then you can bring that up to their mouth. And eventually, if you're doing it a couple times, hopefully they kind of get the idea of, oh, I need to, that's how I'm eating. That's what I got to do. Mm-hmm. So we've learned about that a lot, quite a bit with Tipa Snow, and she's really engaging and a lot of fun to listen to in our trainings that we do. So that's kind of a fun thing that we get to listen to every year.
Well, it sounds real wonderful, like a great resource.
Yeah, and it's something that we can talk about more if you do come into therapy. It's a technique I can actually show you versus talk about it on the radio. So,
wow. So as the disease progresses, communication ability decreases. Can you talk more about why that happens and what suggestions you have for continuing to engage with loved ones?
Yeah, I would say with loved ones, being there and talking to them and living in their world, wherever it might be in the moment, because they might think that their parents are alive, even if they've been long gone, and you don't have to correct them all the time. I think you can talk about them. You can learn about a lot of things from the past that they maybe didn't remember not that long ago, but now that they're living in that time, they can talk to you about it, and you can learn more about that. I think, because sometimes a lot of people try to alert them to what, you know, the actual day is, or like the time now, versus just being present and where they're living right now. And that could be kind of upsetting for somebody that has memory loss if they're more progressed in their disease. So I would say take in whatever they're doing and just be in the moment with them.
With kind of going off what Courtney said about, you know, sometimes just rolling with what you're talking about, you know, it can be really frustrating when someone is constantly correcting you. Or imagine if someone was talking to you and just constantly correcting what you're saying, and you're not realizing that what you're saying maybe isn't completely accurate right now, but it can just be really, you know, frustrating for the patient and sometimes can decrease communication because, you know, it's so frustrating that, you know, someone just keeps telling you, nope, it's actually this, or that it can, you know, decrease that communication or their desire to talk with others.
Do you have any recommendations for slowing the progression of the disease? Are there exercises or things that you go through that could help with that?
I think a lot of people like to do different puzzles or, you know, little trivia games. And those, you know, there's no harm in doing those things. And they're great for keeping that brain active and just making, using those memory systems and keeping them active. Another thing I like to tell people is to keep doing the activities and the things that you enjoy. Like if you, you know, are play piano, like keep trying to play the piano, even if it gets more difficult, keep trying it. Stay active. If you're a social person and like to go out to social events, keep going out to those social events and socializing with others. That'll keep, you know, keep your communication working as well. Keep those skills fresh, and also, you know, staying active, eating healthy, exercise. Those are all good things to help with maintaining where you're at for as long as possible.
I just think it's so neat to hear about these resources that we have right here in our community. Somebody may be starting the memory loss journey thinking, oh my gosh, what comes next? Who's going to be there to help me? And to hear that we have wonderful therapists like you available to walk through what can we do to make life easier? That's really wonderful to know. I wonder if there's anything else that you would like to share with the listeners here in closing.
I would say that, yes, it's kind of a scary thing to go through with memory care, but both Angie and I think are really nice and welcoming and calming. So it might be kind of a scary adventure that you're going to start with us, but we try to make it calm and relaxing and not a scary thing at all. Just come and visit with us and we'll help you the best that we can. Also, we do offer free 15-minute screens, and you can call us at 320-843-1340 if you have any other questions for Angie or I. Just ask for one of us, and we will be happy to talk with you.
Yeah, just that, and Courtney kind of talked about how much we can learn or kind of learn about the past. And I just want to say that I really do enjoy working with the population that does have memory loss. It's really rewarding to help them realize a strategy or be able to do something that they weren't able to do yesterday. It really is enjoyable working with caregivers because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the caregivers are receiving therapy in a way just as much as with the patient, with education on how to communicate, and just to be able to see how the patient, yeah, I just love the social aspect so much of seeing how they can communicate more easily, you know, reminiscing about things and how that's more enjoyable than, you know, maybe a different conversation that you might have. So, yeah, I just really enjoy working with this population. And, yeah, just thank you for having us today and that we were able to come talk to you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, for sharing your wonderful expertise and service with our community.
Thank you for having us on. It's been a really good time.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network would like to extend another thank you to our guests today for taking the time to share their expertise with us. We are lucky to live in a community with so many memory loss resources and experts. Courtney mentioned the training they received from Tipa Snow. The Minnesota Board on Aging has created an online portal for caregivers with resources and videos, including several featuring Tipa Snow. You can contact me, Laura Thomas, at Prairie 5. The number is 320-226-8861, and I would love to get you connected with that caregiver portal. Another resource that is available to all of us is the Alzheimer's Association. They have a free phone number that is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by a master's level clinician. No scripts, no appointments, just a caring ear and suggestions to match your needs. That 24/7 helpline is 1-800-272-3900. On our next episode, we will feature memory loss from a law enforcement perspective, including common scams and fraud, community concerns, and when the time comes to turn in the keys. Stopping driving doesn't have to mean a loss of independence. We have one of the premier public transportation systems in the state, right here in Benson, and we will learn more from the Prairie 5 Rides Coordinator on our next episode as well. Thank you for listening to Shining a Light on Memory Loss. Previously aired episodes can be found at bensonradio.com/memory loss.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network thanks you for joining us today. Please reach out to any member with questions, concerns, or for more information. You may also call the Alzheimer's Association at 800-272-3900. This line is answered 24/7 by a master's level clinician.